when the animal on the left simply exploded, the upper part of the torso flying into the air, blood spattering like a burst tomato on the walls of the building. The lower torso collapsed on the ground, the legs kicking in the air, the tail flopping.
"That'll wake him up," Muldoon said.
Arnold ran for the door of the maintenance shed. The velociraptors turned and started toward Muldoon and Gennaro. They fanned out as they came closer. In the distance, somewhere near the lodge, he heard screams. Gennaro said, "This could be a disaster."
"Load," Muldoon said.
Henry Wu heard the explosions and looked toward the door of the control room. He circled around the consoles, then paused. He wanted to go out, but he knew he should stay in the room. If Arnold was able to get the power back on, if only for a minute, then Wu could restart the main generator. He had to stay in the room. He heard someone screaming. It sounded like Muldoon. Muldoon felt a wrenching pain in his ankle, tumbled down an embankment and hit the ground, running. Looking back, he saw Gennaro running in the other direction, into the forest. The raptors were ignoring Gennaro, but pursuing Muldoon. They were now less than 20 yards away. Muldoon screamed at the top of his lungs as he ran, wondering vaguely where the hell he could go, because he knew he had perhaps 10 seconds before they got him. 10 seconds, maybe less. Ellie had to help Malcolm turn over as Harding jabbed the needle and injected morphine. Malcolm sighed and collapsed back. It seemed he was growing weaker by the minute. Over the radio, they heard Tinny screaming and muffled explosions coming from the visitor center. Hammond came into the room and said,
"How is he?"
"He's holding," Harding said, "a bit delirious."
"I am nothing of the sort," Malcolm said. "I am utterly clear."
They listened to the radio.
"It sounds like a war out there."
"The raptors got out," Hammond said.
"Did they?"
Malcolm said, breathing shallowly.
"How could that possibly happen?"
"It was a system screw-up. Arnold didn't realize that the auxiliary power was on, and the fences cut out."
"Did they?"
"Go to hell, you supercilious bastard!"
"If I remember," Malcolm said, "I predicted fence integrity would fail."
Hammond sighed and sat down heavily.
"Damn it all," he said, shaking his head. "It must surely not have escaped your notice that at heart what we are attempting here is an extremely simple idea. My colleagues and I determined several years ago that it was possible to clone the DNA of an extinct animal and to grow it. That seemed to us a wonderful idea. It was a kind of time travel, the only time travel in the world. Bring them back alive, so to speak. And since it was so exciting, and since it was possible to do it, we decided to go forward. We got this island, and we proceeded. It was all very simple."
"Simple," Malcolm said.
Somehow he found the energy to sit up in the bed.
"Simple? Simple? You're a bigger fool than I thought you were, and I thought you were a very substantial fool."
Ellie said, "Dr. Malcolm," and tried to ease him back down, but Malcolm would have none of it. He pointed toward the radio, the shouts and the cries.
"What is that going on out there?" he said. "That's your simple idea. Simple. You create new life forms about which you know nothing at all. Your Dr. Wu does not even know the names of the things he is creating. He cannot be bothered with such details as what the thing is called, let alone what it is. You create many of them in a very short time. You never learn anything about them. Yet you expect them to do your bidding, because you made them, and you therefore think you own them.